Well, welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. It's great having you with us. Absolute pleasure to welcome Otsilo Motlhala from ENS Africa. He's the Chief Operating Officer. And we also have Nsiki Adonisi, who's Executive and Head of ENS's Natural Resource and Environmental Practice. Great having you guys with us. Now, we have an important juncture here. We have a milestone, as it were. The Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act in South Africa is celebrating its 20th anniversary. So it's quite an eponymous time and a nice opportunity to unpack this. We've just had the mining in Durban, and we wanted to see what we're looking to in the future as well when it comes to the Mining Act and legislation and the sector. And now, when I'm looking at this act after 20 years, and Section 2, for instance, says that it's about giving effect to the principle of the state's custodianship of mineral and petroleum resources, but then also to promote equitable access to the nation's mineral and petroleum resources. If we could start with you, Otsile, would you say after 20 years this has been achieved?
Thank you very much, Evan, to participate in this podcast. The 20th anniversary of the MPRDA is really an important milestone and an opportune time to reflect on the achievements of the Act. I think of the two that you raised, I can certainly say that the object of state custodianship of mineral resources has been achieved, because as you know, the legislation, when it came into force on 1 May 2004, in fact, took ownership of mineral resources from private hands, which was the case under the Minerals Act, and provided that mineral resources are a common heritage of the people of South Africa. So that was done. The second object that you referred to, the promotion of equitable access to the nation's mineral resource, that is a more medium to long-term journey. So various things have been done to try and achieve that, but I wouldn't say it's been done. I think it is being done. So there's more ownership open to people that would historically not have had access to mineral resources. But I think the journey is still underway.
Now, the Minerals Minister last year, I remember he hosted a two-day review summit of the Act. And the department then said that they will commence drafting an MPRDA amendment bill. When can we expect this? My sense is there's been a bit of a delay. But what can we expect when this comes through?
So if you follow the work of the portfolio committee, you would see that in October or so last year, in fact, there was a discussion in the portfolio committee about the work that flew from that summit. But what they have not done is to commit to dates on when we can expect to see a draft bill. In fact, the portfolio committee discussed high-level ideas and then said they were going to take those to the market. I also know that internally within the department, there's a document that's been circulating. I can't tell you when we can expect to see a draft bill. My sense is it will not be before the elections on 29 May. If it is before the elections, I'd be surprised. But I don't think, looking at the parliamentary portfolio committee's work and also the business of parliament, that they'll have time before the elections.
Otsilo, of course, you've been engaged with this industry for quite a while, and when we look at the MPRDA after 20 years, there have been successes as well, right? We tend to read a lot about the negatives.
There's been a lot of successes. So the MPRDA has achieved quite a lot for the industry. A couple of things to reflect on by way of successes. Transformation of the sector is one of the successes. The reality is that in 2004, when the MPRDA came into force, effective black ownership of mining assets in South Africa was very low. With the coming into force of that there's virtually no significant mining asset that does not have a percentage of black ownership. The flagship successes of the MPRD would include companies like African Rainbow Minerals, Shanduka, and Exaro. There's a whole host of entities that are significant players in the industry today that owe their success and even existence, one would argue, primarily to the Act. So there has been those successes. Environmental management was not something that was done at any level that we can report on before this Act came into force. And in fact, before 1991, there was no environmental management laws in South Africa. Certainly, the MPRD has heightened that. That does not mean everything was done successfully by way of environmental management, but we are certainly 20 years into the MPRD, much better than we've ever been in terms of environmental regulation. And lastly, in terms of social impact, before the MPRD, there was no requirement on mining companies to contribute by law to the communities where they mine. But under the MPRD, you have social and labor plans. Again, not exactly effectively implemented, but all of the implementation of the SLPs has redundant to the benefit of communities. And so you can say that you count that as part of the successes.
And we, of course, mentioned that not everything has been a success. The industry itself has faced numerous challenges. And Siki, if we can bring you in there, what are the biggest gaps that still need to be filled, as it were, or some of the negatives that need to be looked at?
Okay, so I suppose the first one is on transformation itself. There are no substantive provisions that deal with empowerment in the MPRDA. Yeah. It's just Section 100 that says, you know, the minister must develop the mining charter. And as we know, our courts have now held that the mining charter is a guideline. It doesn't have the force of law. So if South Africa is serious about transformation, then we need to amend a mining legislation to deal with empowerment. And the second one, the second gap I see is that we don't accommodate or cater for the small-scale miners. So our legislation is drafted for large-scale mining. And we know that Section 27 of the MPRDA deals with mining permits, but that doesn't do the trick. We need a chapter in our legislation that specifically deals with small-scale miners. And this will obviously then lead to employment and job creation. And where you have South Africans that have the ability to mine small projects, they can do so. And one of the good examples of legislation for small-scale miners is in Zambia. So we can learn from them.
Great. No,
And the third gap is local development. As you know, we deal most of with the local development in our social and labor plans. So I say we require more substantive provisions in the MPRDA dealing with commitments that mining companies must make. So it's not in a social and labor plan where the DMRE official looks at it and say, yay or nay. It must be cast in stone in the legislation on what the mining companies are required to do. And this will also obviously assist in community development projects.
Great. No, thanks.
The last?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So the last one is just on exploration/prospecting. So I think we also need to amend our mining legislation to promote and encourage investments for exploration, because without exploration, we will not be able to grow the mining industry. So if we have like possibly mining tax laws that will attract investments into SA, to do exploration, that would be welcomed.
Yeah, and I saw at the mining in Darba recently, the businesses, of course, in the sector highlighting challenges like the port chaos, for instance, is affecting the supply chain broadly, affecting the industry. I mean, we've just seen the budget kind of a lot of positive moves in a way when it comes to, you know, how we're going to tackle these types of problems. Do you expect a bit more support, though, for the mining sector and impetus for the sector in 2024?
Yes, I surely hope so. You know, we predict that something will happen in 2024, also being the election year. And it would appear from the mining Indaba 2024, from the minister's address, that port and other infrastructural challenges that were highlighted, that they are giving traction to that. And one of those is that they have formed the National Logistics Crisis Committee, which is an effort by government and the private sector to assist in the port chaos. And this committee is comprised of the private sector experts and CEOs. So we're hoping through this that the reform in logistics will encourage mining mining to flourish
yeah.
in the industry.
Yeah, and I mean, I can jump in there to say the reality is South Africa has lost a lot of revenue from the mining sector and other sectors, in fact, because of the challenges with logistics and ports. And that can be quantified in the billions that the Minister of Finance has reported. And so the government does not need much incentivizing to try and sort the thing out. The real issue is timing. How soon is soon? Because well, as a country, we are desperate for logistical solutions.
Absolutely. No, it's a critical point. So thanks for that. And now when we look at the BBBEE sections, can we expect some changes in this amendment?
I think I touched on it, that one of the biggest gaps in the current legislation is that we don't specifically deal with empowerment. And as we know, we have the 2018 mining charter, and chunks of it were set aside by the court. And also, it was held that the mining charter itself is a policy document.
Yes.
And therefore not legislation.
Ah, yes.
So we are hoping that the MPRDA, the amendment bill, will deal with that. Because if transformation is such an essential part of the mining industry and the country as a whole, we need to ensure that that is legislated for and we don't rely on a guideline.
Great. No, thanks for that. It makes a lot of sense. So that's one area that we're going to have to watch. And then enforceability. I have seen some talk that, you know, we need to enforce some of these sections. Some people have been calling for a bigger role for other parts of the security apparatus, for instance, you know, the police possibly. Enforceability, is it a problem? And how do we get around that problem?
It is. Enforceability is a problem. But I think there's been significant strides that have been made with the establishment of a specialized police unit working with the defense force. We've seen several arrests, prosecutions, and convictions. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
And I think I can just add there to say, when I read the records of the portfolio committee deliberations on this topic, one of the things that members of parliament highlight is they don't believe that illegal mining is currently dealt with in the MPRDA.
Mm.
I, of course, don't agree with them that it's not dealt with. It is dealt with. The question is whether it's dealt with sufficiently.
Yeah.
You know, Section 5 of the MPRDA is quite clear that only people who have mining titles can mine. So if you don't have a mining right, or a mining permit and you go and mine, you are committing a crime. So it's already in the act. And so the question is, to my mind, whether you need to improve the legislative framework to enable the state to better deal with it, number one. And secondly, and more critically, whether you have the state machinery necessary to clamp down on this thing. And that is a combination of a efficient policing and efficient prosecutorial functions by the NPA.
Well, Otsile and Siki, it's been absolutely great chatting to you, and thanks for that breakdown, going through 20 years of history and also casting our eye forward. And I think there's so many important things to come, and it's critical that, you know, the businesses out there get this insight and we understand what we have to watch and also what needs to, the gaps that need to be filled. So thanks very much. Great having you on air.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.